Welcome, everybody, to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I'm your host, Sean, stacking the green with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. Ryan, what's shaking?
Everything. All the money. All the money's flowing our way right now.
All the money is flowing our way. And if you guys want to flow a little more money our way, you go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com. You click that Amazon link. Everything, you know, it's like a VIG. We get a little VIG off Amazon. Anything you guys buy through the Amazon link, you can bookmark it. And you just come back to it. Support the sportsgamblingpodcast.com. And check out it on iTunes. Subscribe to the podcast. Ryan, we have been having a great week of picks. You want to go through the past week?
We should probably start with the national championship. Of course, Kentucky, as we've been saying this whole tournament, grown man team.
Mama, there goes that man.
Versus Kansas. And honestly, the game for the first, 28 minutes went exactly as you would expect it to. Kentucky was just destroying Kansas. And then Calipari must have, I don't know what he was thinking. They start playing keep away. They're running the clock down. They're not running any offense. And, you know, I was actually sitting there halfway through the, or maybe 5 minutes into the second half.
So the spread was six and a half points.
Well, it depends when you grabbed it. It was anywhere from 6 to 7.5. I grabbed it at 6. I know, did you grab it, Sean, or did you?
No, I didn't end up playing the full game. I ended up taking Kentucky first half. Basically, just on the same premise that I felt like Kentucky was going to come out in beast mode, and I know
that was a smart play too, because Kansas has been laying first half eggs.
Yeah, they've been laying first half eggs, and I just thought it's a half of basketball. The spread's only 3.5.
Yeah,
I mean Kentucky -4 in any half of basketball against any team. I like my odds, and especially in that first half. So I just I went big on that Kentucky first half -3.5. Tweeted our picks over at Gambling Podcast.
Yeah, once Kansas was trying to run with the ball, and it was like, oh, that's going right into Kentucky's game plan. It was halftime rolls around. I'm feeling really good. Start to celebrate at the house. Maybe pour a little whiskey. maybe do some other things.
So they're up by 14 going into half.
It looks good. We talked briefly at halftime. The bet was definitely take Kansas in the second half, but my feeling was I got a large bet on Kentucky. I don't want to sit here and root for a middle. Right. Kentucky's clearly outplaying them.
That was another thing. I had talked to you right before tip-off. I was like, you know, I also really like this over Kentucky 34 points in the first half.
Wow.
And, you know, kind of regret not picking that, although they I think they had, 41 going into the first half?
Yeah,
it was 41-27.
They were killing it. They were killing it. And the other wager I had going was, and I don't know if I talked about it on the show, but I had taken Anthony Davis to win the most valuable player of the Final Four at 2-1 before the Final Four started, thinking if Kentucky wins, he's probably going to win it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so then the second half starts, much of the same. I'm feeling good. And then I think they were up 18 at one point in the second half, maybe.
It got pretty bad in the second half.
And then they just started playing keep away, and Kansas just started chipping away. And it got to that point where it was like, it was a 10-point game, and it was like, oh, Jesus, really? And boom, Kentucky hits a three. I'm like, all right, back up to 13. I'm watching the game by myself. I do a fist pump. I'm like, yes. And then I go to the bathroom. I come back. And boom, Kansas hit the three-pointer. I'm like, all right. So it's a 10-point game, and they slowly chip away. And I think they get it down to a 6-point game, and it starts being a free throw shooting contest. They get it to 6. They foul. Kentucky goes down, makes its free throws. So it's back to 8 with, I don't know, what was it, like 20 seconds left. And
something like
Kansas does the move that every gambler hates. They go for the pointless 2-pointer.
Yep, they go for that
foul
layup
again, and now it's 6 points. Kentucky hits their free throw. Thank God they hit their free throws again. I'm kind of giving you the abbreviated version. 8-point game. Kansas goes down. They miss the three to cover. Game over. Kentucky wins. Definitely shouldn't have been a sweat, but it was.
Yeah, no, it came down to the line. And do you know the total?
It went under. The total was 137.5.
Which was weird because I was thinking of doing some action on the second half, but it was like, oh my God, they didn't hit this first half They might have hit the second half over, but the first half I was thinking of taking the over, but then
Kansas scored so few points that it actually
I was thinking of taking the second half over. I'm sorry, and but yeah, it was just like wow, this the pace was really fast in the first half, and they didn't even hit the over, so I kind of stayed away from the totals there in the second half. But yeah, I was thinking of taking Kansas City. I had no action in the second half. I was thinking of taking Kansas City minus 1.5 just because
Kansas City.
Kansas. And just on the idea of like the adjusted game lines, 12 points, that's a lot. They're going to be trying to protect their lead. And,
it definitely made sense.
But the I was just like, I can't go against this Kentucky team right now. These are just grown men playing basketball. And Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis is a guy. Normally, I'm just all about, hey, man, if you can get money and you should go out and just get – if you're the number one pick, you should go out and do it. And it's hard to tell Anthony Davis not to go out and be the number one pick in the NBA draft. But his body, you just look at that body, and I'm no basketball expert by any means, or at least when it comes to like these college guys turning pro, but he just looks like he could fill out so much. Like he's got these long, wiry arms. Like he looks like a dude who when you play against these super filled out, like a Blake Griffin type, it just seems like it's going to be trouble. Whereas if he just stayed in college for like another year, it doesn't seem like he's done growing.
Well, they talked about it during the telecast, but I believe 2 or 3 years ago, sometime between 24 and 36 months ago, he was 6'2".
Yeah. And so what's he, 6'11" now?
I'm sure they list him at 7 feet. He's probably like a 6'11", 6'10". But yeah, imagine when another year in a college lifting program. I mean, at the same time, he's clearly the best player in the past two drafts. He's a franchise-changing player. He's that big. He can hit. I mean, he's shown all season he can knock down the 20-footer.
That's the other thing. He goes 1-for-10 in the game and still, by all accounts, dominates the game.
I've heard a lot of comparisons to Tim Duncan, which make a lot of sense. He can go right. He can use his right and left hand around the basket. Devastating shot blocker. And the way he moves with the ball, like a couple times he was leading the break, dribbling, looking like a guard, and it's just...
Yeah, his ball handling skills are amazing.
I mean, there's no reason this kid shouldn't come out. He's clearly the best player.
Yeah, they jokingly said the only way he would stay is if he could be a point guard.
Yeah.
But, Calipari's man, like, all right.
He's a badass.
Oh, he's good, man. He's good. No doubt about it. And he just... he's just has immense size. Like, even on a 6'11". He's got a 6'11 body, and his arms look noticeably long.
Yeah.
Like, they stand out for, like, oh, my God, that guy's arms are really long. So you can only imagine what the guy's wingspan is. It's got to be, like, 7.5 feet.
I can't wait for the NBA Combine just to see his measurements because that block he had in the first half where you saw it coming a mile away, the kid kind of beat his man a little bit, goes up for a layup, and Anthony Davis comes out of nowhere, jumps up and blocks the ball at, like, his chin level. It was crazy.
Did you see what was that white guy's name? The 7-footer in Kansas, like Wither or something.
Oh, he's a badass. Whitey, I think, or Witty.
Witty, something like
he's
that.
He's a badass too.
Yeah, but he was still getting. He was kind of getting worked around.
Yeah, well, he's not the athletes on Kentucky.
He's not Anthony Davis.
That Kansas team was the first team to play in the national championship game. That didn't have or it was the second team, Butler being the other team, that had no McDonald's All-Americans on the team.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Ryan, little-known fact here, picked it up off some sports talk radio, that every time the Kentucky Wildcats have won the national championship, or at least the past six times, the Yankees have won the World Series.
Wow. Yep. Well, it's funny you bring that up because the Yankees are as a Yankee fan There's usually some glaring flaws in the team. Lately, it's been their pitching. This team's pretty loaded. This is a pretty loaded Yankees team. I mean, they're in a really tough division. They're in the tougher league, but man, I mean, the lineup is devastating like it always is, but they have like 7 or 8 like professional pitchers on their roster, which last year they probably had 4 pitchers, you know. So,
well, yeah, today was kind of the official.
All right, we need to talk about this.
This is like the third opening day.
No, we need to talk about what MLB is doing. First of all, I get it. You want to have games in Japan. You want to globalize your sport. So you have some games in Japan. You don't have to have those games a week before the season. Yeah, here's so normally the
everything's wrong about it. First, so they should have been preseason games. Secondly, they shouldn't have been a week before.
Make them count. That's fine. But here's the thing. Normally, the season starts on with one Sunday night game, and then Monday is opening day. So have the games be on the same days. Just don't – I don't know why they pushed the regular season back. Now it gets weirder. Last night, opening day, or, you know, the United States opening day, St. Louis Cardinals travel to the new stadium in Miami to play the Miami Marlins.
Yep.
Seems normal on the surface. It was a one-game series. Miami played Cincinnati today. That makes no sense. Like, what the fuck is that? And yeah, then it gets weirder. Today was opening day for 14 teams. There are 7 games today. Okay. Not a full docket of games. Everyone surely is going to play tomorrow. No. For the first time since I can remember watching baseball, half the teams have Friday off. Friday is never an off day. All the weekend series go Thursday through Sunday or Friday through Sunday. So I don't know what Bud Selig is smoking. This is the dumbest shit ever. And then next year, I'm sure it's going to be
fucked
up.
Why not start it off with either a rivalry game? Why not opening day start it off Red Sox, Yankees,
or
Phillies,
just have
Mets,
some
just division games?
It's all fucked up. And then next year, I'm sure they're going to find a way to fuck up the new. They're moving the Astros, of course, to the AL West. Which the reason that so currently MLB has 2 unbalanced divisions. You have a 4-team division and a 6-team division in the National League. 4-team in the American League.
How does it take them so long to get everything right?
Well, here's the thing. Really the reason simple. They did this is because baseball has games going almost every day, you can't have an odd number of teams in a league. It would be a scheduling nightmare. There's not really bye weeks, right?
Yeah,
everyone's
playing
all the time. So they have 16 teams in the National League, 4-team in the American League. So they decided, well, we're going to even it out. We're going to move the Astros over to the AL West, and we're just going to have interleague games going all season. Okay, that seems fine, but now they're just going to find a way to fuck it up. Like, you're going to have your last series, and some team fighting for a playoff spot is going to be playing the Pittsburgh. It's going to be like the Boston Red Sox are fighting for a playoff spot, and they're playing the Houston Astros, or they're playing the Pittsburgh Pirates in the other league or something.
Yeah, and it doesn't make sense for baseball. Why spread out your opening day? I mean, that's one of your few interesting moments in the first half of the season.
You got games all day long. People are watching day baseball.
Yeah, why not own a Friday or a Thursday, or even just do it all on the weekend on a Saturday?
Well, so the way it used to be is because the Cincinnati Reds were the first baseball team, they would always open the season with the first game, the first day game. They would start a little early at like 11 a.m.
Yeah, why not start with traditions like that?
And then ESPN rolled around with Sunday Night Baseball, so they wanted to have one Sunday Night Baseball game to open the season. That's fine. And then you have everyone play on Monday. What they've done this year is just crazy. And then we haven't even talked about the whole wild card issue.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another thing that they're just
– you have a situation this year where you're going to have – you have divisions for no real reason at this point, and there's a good chance that there's a legitimate chance that the 3 best teams in the American League could come out of, or put it this way, there's a good chance that 2 of the best teams could be wild card teams, and they're going to have to play a 1-game playoff to get in. Why play 162 games? I'm very disappointed with baseball right now.
Yeah. No, it seems, I mean, football seems to be just getting everything right.
Yeah.
Getting, I mean, except for the bounty gate, that seems to be the only negative press right now the NFL's getting.
We'll forget about that once the draft happens. Although probably they'll remind us that the Saints don't have picks.
Yeah, that'll come up a few times, I'm sure. What do you think about Bill Parcells sounding like he has Sean Payton's job waiting in the wings right now?
Yeah, whatever. I like Parcells. I mean, look. I don't get, like, if a player got suspended like this, they wouldn't be allowed to go, like, interview their replacement. And, like, they're basically told, don't come near the premises, you know?
Right.
Yeah, for Sean Payton and the GM, it's like, are they going to be allowed to go to the draft? Why aren't they suspended for that? Are they?
I think they're not allowed to communicate with all or at all with the team.
I mean, how are they stopping that?
I
think we need, at NFL headquarters in we need some sort of solitary confinement, like in a prison. And they get thrown into the hole.
That would be hilarious. The NFL confinement center, just Sean Payton, and he just has to – what is he – he just can't be –
That would make you think about cheating a little bit more.
Yeah.
Like, shit, I got to spend 16 weeks in the hole.
It's a Motel 8. You don't get. You can't watch all the games. They take away your newspaper.
Oh man. So that anyway, that's my that's what's wrong with baseball right now.
Well, you fixed it, Ryan.
Well, and Bud Selig is still the commissioner. This guy, he's the only commissioner in all of sports that gave himself a raise during this economic crisis. Goodell was like, my salary has been cut to a dollar. David Stern said he's not taking a paycheck this year. And Bud Selig comes out and is like, well, I'm going to bump mine from $18 million to $20
million. Baseball, man, it's a crazy, crazy system. Yeah, I don't know. Bud Selig seems to have gotten a lot of complaints.
Average baseball salary, $3.44 million.
He's making – wow, that's insane. So
that
would be –
player salaries.
Yeah. So wait, what's the average NFL salary?
The average NFL salary, I'm sure, is much lower. I can look them up, but I'm guessing it goes in the order of
– $1.2 million,
something like
that.
It goes baseball, basketball.
Yeah, football really has the worst of it all, especially if you factor in how short a career you're going to – I mean, baseball really seems to have the best deal, best union.
I mean, the argument would be it's – if you average it over games played, that's kind of – I mean
– Yeah.
But then the reverse argument of that is, well, that's the nature of the beast. So, you know, I don't know. Because right. Football players probably make more per game than any other sport.
It's true, but they're putting their bodies on the line, Ryan. Speaking of putting their bodies on the line, did you see this story? The Bengals cheerleader.
Oh, great story.
Is being investigated for sexual assault. Okay, so first off, the Bengals cheerleaders, they're known as the Ben Gals. I found that hilarious.
Like, sometimes we don't have to do nicknames, right? No. You don't have to do a nickname.
You can just call yourself cheerleaders. It's fine. So she's this pretty hot 27-year-old chick who was working as a teacher and supposedly had this sexually explicit relationship with this 16-year-old football player on the team. Then she out of nowhere resigned, and so now obviously that's been pretty shady. Her mom, who also works in the school district, has been covering it up. She also divorced her husband, and they said they got their marriage annulled, and they said the reason was that it was never the marriage was never confirmed via sexual intercourse. Now, I don't know. Maybe she just said that to get it annulled, but that it's pretty hilarious to have that in writing. Now, this cheerleader also is the same one that I guess there was this online gossip site or something that said she had been having sex with one of the Bengals players back in the day and had contracted an STD. She find, I think it was called The Dirt or something, one of these online gossip mags. They find, or she sued them, and she won a judgment of $11 million.
For getting an STD?
No, for them printing the fact that she got an STD. Now, supposedly.
What?
I'm sure that's in appeals court or whatever.
This is what's wrong with this country, Sean.
I don't know. But there's so much, this it's chick sounds like she
fucking worthless leeches of society suing. Whether it's people who immigrated here or fucking these worthless leeches who contribute nothing to society that just try to grab onto someone's coattails and go for the ride.
Yeah, I mean, I could see being upset that someone printed that you had an STD when you
don't
didn't.
Be a whore and get an STD. Easy solution.
Well, who knows if she had the STD? I mean, but yeah, I agree.
Mean, look it. What are you gonna do? Anyway, average salaries, real quick.
Sure.
So these are a couple years old, but you'll get the gist. Football is 1.1.
Ooh, I was close. I had 1.2 million.
It's probably up there now. Major League Soccer, 120,000. That was higher than I would have expected.
That's more than WNBA.
Wow. And then NBA is actually 5.6. These are all of as of 2009.
Well, NBA makes sense because they're playing 82 games and
yeah,
they're only five guys on the court.
Yeah, I mean, you only have 12 to 15 guys on your active payroll anyway.
Speaking of women, Ryan, another tweet that I tweeted out correctly.
Well, Sean, women?
Yeah. Well, I know it's not sports.
Creatures that have a vagina, maybe?
I know it's not traditional sports, but the NCAA championship for women tweeted out at Gambling Podcast, I like Baylor -7. They ended up winning by 19, 80-61. Brittany Griner, man, she is a beast. Now, I know everyone was talking about whether could Kentucky beat an NBA team.
No.
I think that's a little bit ludicrous. But do you think Brittany Griner could beat a NBA guy one-on-one?
No. She's so unathletic. If Sean, if you were 6'8", you could throw down some monster jams, and you're not a very athletic guy.
No,
she
I'm
can
not.
Barely dunk. She when they get excited when she dunks, we're talking about like the kind of dunk when you're in high school and you get up there and you dunk a tennis ball and you're like, yeah, I got it.
Like, where it's like just getting over the rim and you're kind of throwing it down.
She is 6'8". Her wingspan probably allows her to, what, reach to 9 feet, 5 inches and 6 inches? She doesn't have to jump more than a foot. I mean, it's unbelievable how unathletic she is.
I don't know. I think she could take Chris Bosh. That's my prediction.
Oh, my goodness. They do kind of look alike.
All right, Ryan. First off, before we get off NFL completely, did you see this? Morris Claiborne. I think he's a cornerback.
Yeah, prospect at LSU.
LSU. Scored a 4 on his Wonderlic.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
These poor guys. What? You really just got to refuse to take the Wonderlic. Whatever
here's
it drops you is not going to – in comparison
– well, here's the thing. Hakeem Nicks. How do you feel about Hakeem Nicks' ability to catch the football? He's pretty good, right? Yeah. He scored like a 5. So it's like, who gives a – if the guy's a quarterback – or maybe a middle linebacker, I get it. They kind of have to be intelligent. They have to call the plays. Maybe even know. But come on. The dudes – if you watch –
quarterback is probably the least position you have to learn, I think.
You probably got to do stuff. But at the end of the day, it's like just cover the guy. Go out,
Yeah, I mean, in compared to all the positions in the NFL –
yeah, I would say cornerback and running back are the two positions that allow you to come in and just hit the ground running because you're not – you don't have a ton of – it doesn't get that much more complex.
I would say even running back, you have to know more just
blocking
because you have
schemes.
To know – yeah, you have to know where the blitz is coming, picking up the blitz. You have to know basically the entire offensive playbook. All you have to know as a cornerback is like, are we in cover 2, cover 3,
yeah.
Who's my guy?
I guess a pass rusher would be pretty easy to come in because you see a lot of those young players that come in and they're just situational pass rushers and they just kind of devastate. Like that kid on San Francisco.
Yeah. Didn't he come from Africa or something? Or is that – getting confused.
Jason Pierre-Paul came from something like that. Played like 1 year of college football.
Yeah. Just explain to
him. Can you imagine that?
That's like Christian Okoye back in the day. They just put arrows pointing to where
Jason Pierre-Paul and Brittany Griner are probably about the same height. Can you imagine how fierce Pierre-Paul can dunk the ball?
Can you imagine Brittany Griner's ability to block field goals? Throw it in there, man. Come on, mix it up.
Oh, my goodness.
Women. So, yeah, he scored a 4. You kind of feel bad for the guy, and now it turns out he may or may not have had a learning disability. So now it's just if you're a cornerback, why are you even asking? I would just say no.
Here's the thing.
Plenty
right?
of people refuse to take stuff.
And this comes up every year. We talk about these college athletes. Someone's violating Rule A. Look. Morris Claiborne, is that his name?
Yeah.
Morris Claiborne brought more money to LSU in his tenure at LSU than any professor there, than anyone doing research. And so they can go fuck themselves. He can get whatever tattoo he wants. He can trade his if a kid can trade his signature for $1,000, fuck you. Let him. That's ridiculous. College sports is so messed up. It really is. Like, I hate to agree with who's that black sports writer?
Jason Whitlock.
I hate to agree with Jason Whitlock because a lot of his points seem silly.
Yeah, he does.
He's right. It really is like borderline slavery.
I mean, he does throw out stuff to just kind of be incendiary.
Yeah, he does like.
But,
you know,
I mean, you can't, like, even out here in entertainment, you can't work on a show as an intern if you're not getting college credit because that violates the minimum wage laws. Now, yeah, obviously you're working around it because you're getting a college education, but these guys aren't getting a college education. They're not getting anything.
Exactly. Why does the average person go to college? To prepare themselves for a job.
Yeah.
Guess what? When these kids – and now granted, most kids don't end up playing professionally, but the ones that are bringing their teams to national championships and are preparing to play in the NFL – I have no – they should be able to do whatever they want.
Yeah, I think there should be some way to do it. I mean, I don't know. I think we're kind of so far gone that it's tough, but I think there should be some system where kind of in the same way you have shares of stock. Like,
yeah, it's a share.
Okay, if you're the starting quarterback for a top-tier team, you're probably getting 500 shares. If you're a guy just making the team on like a barely top 25 team, you may get 1 or 2 shares. And then whatever – whatever your program ends up netting in income in that year, you get a certain percentage in a fund put away when you graduate.
Sure. And that's where it gets real silly, when these programs are like, oh, we don't make that much money. Well, I'll tell you why they say that, because they filter all the profits of, like, all of the jerseys sold and the sweatshirts that, you know, look, no one's buying a sweatshirt because they're trying to, like, be a fan of the lacrosse team. And that, like, especially, like, so at Virginia Tech, where I went, all of that stuff was sold through the bookstores.
Yeah.
So the revenue wasn't on the sports teams, it was revenue of the bookstores. And, like, tickets were sold through, like, a booster club, so it wasn't... So the only – it's just
yeah,
like,
I mean, it'd be so hard to audit and whatever, but I mean –
it just kills me because it's like, look, get over it. Like, I went to school with Michael Vick. After Michael Vick finished his second season and he came back
with – you guys are both putting your degrees
to good use. He came back with a Cadillac Escalade, 22s on – it's like, come on. What? Like, why are we pretending like he was ever going to finish college? It's just – like, he should be able to do that. He should be able to do whatever he wants.
Are you talking about humane spokesman Michael Vick?
Yeah, what? Yeah, and that's
Humane Society spokesman.
Don't get me started on these.
He's learned that fighting dogs is wrong, Ryan. He's moved on.
Oh, it's just silly.
All right, let's get some NBA talk.
Got me playoffs. All fired up, Sean.
I know playoffs are. We can't gamble on the college system, Ryan. We got to talk about where we can throw some money here. The NBA playoffs are upcoming. There was a couple nice matchups past couple nights. I watched the Clippers Lakers game last night. Were you able to catch that?
I did. There were two good games, two playoff-style games last night, the Heat-Thunder game, too.
Heat-Thunder was a really good game. LeBron kind of stepping up a little bit at the end there, not looking for the final shot, but at least making a run at the end.
I think the best thing that happened to LeBron in that game was that intentional foul, whatever you want to call it, that Russell Westbrook, when he kind of took him down, because after that, LeBron was fired up. And man, he's so good when he puts 100% into his game, he's unstoppable. And it's frustrating to watch him do
right.
that.
Right. I mean,
some
one
of the, time.
One of the ESPN NBA analysis was saying, you know, LeBron James just proved tonight that when he wants to close out a game and he wants to be in complete control of the game, no one can stop him. Then why does he want to do that all the time?
I know, it's crazy.
That's why I don't like him anymore. When he was on Cleveland, he wanted that more than anything. He was the man. Then when he came on this Miami team, or at the end of the Cleveland, at the end of his run in Cleveland, you know, when that kind of hold the
ball
came out.
Well, to be fair, if you heard before game five that someone had,
one
of your teammates had banged your wife.
My wife.
Or your mother,
You would hope to be so lucky. Yeah, hey, it didn't slow down Steve Nash. The guy's still putting up great numbers.
Yeah, what a crazy story. So in other news, in news relative to us, so of course, I'm sure I've talked about it. One of my bets, which was looking great halfway through the season, was Orlando Magic over 36.5 wins. Or actually 37.5.
What are they at right now?
What's happened? They've lost 6 in a row, and Dwight, they're clearly not playing, trying to get Stan Van Gundy fired.
Yeah, well, it was weird. I mean, I was just reading this stuff on Twitter as it was coming out today, of course, being Thursday. Dwight Howard said to the media, no, I never tried to get Stan Van Gundy fired. And then Stan Van Gundy comes out at the press conference and confirms that, yes, Dwight Howard went to management and confirmed that.
That's why the Van Gundy brothers are awesome.
Yeah, he's like, no, yeah, he wanted to get me fired. And I guess in between then, Dwight had given Stan a hug. So it's like, gotta be so awkward on that team. And there were reports of the Magic being out, like, in the New York club, partying late at night. That's why I never believed in this Orlando team. They've never seemed to have guys who had some heart.
It's weird, because they, like, when they play well, they're like the one team that you're like, okay, if anyone's going to spoil the Bulls or the Heat run, I guess it could be the Magic, but...
And the Heat and the Bulls seem vulnerable. I mean, you got Derrick Rose, who knows what's going on with that guy's back, and the Heat definitely seem kind of to get the case of the yips when it comes down to that last couple minutes. So, hot shooting Orlando Magic team playing together as a team, they could give anyone a run for their money in the East. But I just don't think Dwight Howard has much heart.
Yeah.
Why is he throwing Van Gundy under the bus? What is he doing such a bad job coaching?
I don't know. I think it's that whole thing. It's not me. It's him. You know. when you've always been great and you've always been treated like, oh, you're the man, then you always have to offload the blame on someone else. So I'm sure he can. It's probably one of those things. Hey, I'll stay in Orlando if you fire Stan Van Gundy, you know?
Yeah, but then why didn't they fire Van Gundy then? Why would you bring it up now? If you're are you going to fire the coach right now? How many weeks before the playoffs?
It's crazy.
It's ridiculous.
I don't know.
In that Clippers-Lakers game, the spread was 3. Clippers -3 against the Lakers in the Staples Center.
Yeah.
I thought about it, and I was like, no way.
I can't take the Lakers.
Yeah. I didn't bet on the game. I was thinking of taking the Clippers team total. It was like 96.5 that hit. I didn't bet that. I didn't bet anything.
I'll tell you what. When you watch the Lakers, so Mike Brown is clearly a great defensive coach, but he has no clue how to run a rotation. When you watch this Lakers team play, they clearly need to have either Sessions or Kobe on the court, or Bynum or Gasol, or Gasol. Because when they run out, 2 nights ago I was watching, Kobe, Sessions, Bynum, and Gasol were all on the bench. That team was awful.
Yeah.
They were awful. Even if it's just one of the big men, sometimes they leave that. They really need to have Sessions come off the bench and be like the scorer when Kobe sits down, because they have nothing when he's not out there. And
yeah, he does. That was a good trade. He definitely adds some quickness there, cutting to the rim. You didn't see that with Derek Fisher at all, obviously.
Now, here's the thing.
Doesn't Meta World Peace just seem so out of shape? Like, how is he in the league?
Well, apparently it's not that he's out of shape. He's just been lifting a lot. He's bulking. He's like a middle linebacker.
He just looks – yeah, I guess – I don't know how to explain it, but he just looks awkward in – he just looks awkward on
the
court.
You know what, though? He still gives them a chance against any of the good teams, because he can still D up Durant. He can still frustrate Durant with just being physical. He can still D up LeBron because he's big and he's like one of the rare guys that can push him around.
He gets in people's heads. our buddy Matt Sullivan tweeted out something. I guess it was in Ron Artest's Wikipedia. It was just some random fact that I guess his rookie year he applied to work at Circuit City for the employee discount.
Yeah. No, and he put Phil Jackson I think it was Phil Jackson at the time. He put his coach his coach or the GM as his reference.
Wait, that's hilarious.
He also punched Michael Jordan. I mean,
when did he punch Jordan?
Well, they were on the Bulls together at the end of Jordan's career.
Oh, okay.
He came in with the Bulls, and that was one of those, like, he got into it with Jordan in practice and threw a punch at him.
That was the last he was seen in Chicago?
Yeah, that's just one of those things. Like, I love Ron Artest. He's incredibly honest all the time. He plays really hard. He understands that his role is to shoot threes once in a while and pass
the ball.
His
three ball has been looking bad, though.
Yeah, yeah.
His three ball looks bad. But yeah, Blake had a couple nice, devastating dunks on Powell. It was humiliating. Did you see the highlights?
God, these Laker fans come in today. Ah, Blake Griffin fouls over the back.
Oh my God. Well,
no, here's the deal. It's definitely a foul, but that's something that stars are allowed to do in the NBA. Kobe, almost every time he goes up for a layup, his arms out there kind of creating space. Dwayne Wade, LeBron, Durant, you're just allowed to do that as a star. And now, first of all, one of the dunks, the one that everyone's saying should have been over the back, look, Gasol was trying to box him out, and he just jumped over him. I mean,
yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, I mean,
if anything, that's a blocking foul because he was in the restricted area.
Yeah, I mean, Gasol was under there. He was making a legit play on the ball. It wasn't like he was, I don't know, you were making a legit play to score. I think you have a case there. The other one where he extended his arm into Gasol's face, they might start calling that offensive foul just because it's like close to punching Gasol in the face and giving him the Heisman.
Maybe Gasol shouldn't be so soft.
Hey, I thought it was hilarious. I mean, the replays from the backboard camera was great.
The more concerning thing is how one-dimensional Blake Griffin is. He's terrified to shoot the ball. He can't face up. He's terrified to take it inside because he's a horrible free throw shooter. He really – it started off being like, oh, Blake Griffin is going to be good. And now it's just like he's a one-trick pony.
Yeah, I mean, I think he can still work on that game. I mean, this is his second full year.
Yeah,
I think it's too easy to write him off. But, yeah, if he improves his foul shooting and he just takes it to the hole, he's going to get fouled or a dunk every time.
You got to work on
your
foul shooting.
His jump shot has been coming along, but he has no confidence in it, and he's scared to do it when he's wide open. So it'll be interesting to see what happens here.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I mean, the Spurs, well, I still have the Spurs, of course, at 20-1 to win the West, which is...
That's looking pretty
solid.
They're
a game out of the one seed, which is pretty crazy. All right,
Ryan, before we get to the Masters action, let's make a couple NBA picks here for Friday night.
All right. The
Friday night lines are up.
I believe the Friday night lines up are somewhere. I don't know.
That's the thing. We're in another window here where we got to make our action, Ryan.
Well, I will say, while I'm bringing up the NBA picks, I will, you know, real work permitting, I will try to get some picks out every day for MLB.
Yeah, if you followed at Gambling Podcast today and laid on Ryan's Ryan Kramer's MLB picks, he went 4-0. Ryan, you were talking to me off pod.
Yeah, so you know,
what's your theory? You were talking fast.
There's a couple. So I have some thoughts. I actually did take an over today. My thought are young pitchers early in the season, or just pitchers in general early in the season, sometimes take a little bit time to get their shit together. So I'll probably take some overs early if there's value there.
Although we started off with like six unders in a row.
The one over was the game I had. I thought it was a little low. Volquez is wild. Kershaw hadn't looked great in the spring. So I took the over. It was over six with plus odds, which is always good. But, yeah, generally the games I'll take is I'll take plus odd home underdogs where the road pitcher isn't as dominant as they're giving him credit for.
Plus odd home underdogs. So basically,
I'm being redundant there.
Sorry. Okay. Yeah. So
home dogs.
Home dogs.
Basically, home dogs. Where we're talking like plus anywhere from like, you know, even +110 to like +175. Where I feel like the road pitcher is maybe getting a little too much credit. And then I like taking unders. You got two stud pitchers on the mound. Give me under, like today, Lester, Verlander. Give me under seven all day. It was plus odds too. It was even money.
What did it come in at?
3-2.
Ryan, I'm already off to a hot streak.
Yeah.
My Phillies over 92 wins. 91 more, baby.
Looks
already 1-0.
Halladay
against the Pirates. I was going to throw money on it. It was Halladay -170. I was like, it's still early.
A little too much juice. Halladay didn't look great in the spring, but he showed that it doesn't really matter. He was working on stuff. Yeah. but yeah, so generally that's what I'll go with. A system has been brought to my attention where essentially you, on a daily basis, you look for the highest average between the favorites run line, the -1.5 run line, and the underdogs money line straight up.
Slow down. So you
want the favorite, you're always taking the favorite on the run line. So you're taking the favorite -1.5 and you're taking the dog straight up. Both, there'll be plus odds both ways. There'll be something like, you know, +210 and +210 or something like that. So you look for the highest average.
What do you mean the highest average?
The highest payout, yeah. As well as a small variance between the min and max. So let's say one pays +110 and one pays +260. That's going to be a decently high average, but the wide range might make it there's a huge swing in the way you bet it. Anyway, so I'm getting ahead of myself. So you pick the three best looking games on that for that system, and then you do a parlay of every combination. So you essentially you risk X, Y, and Z on eight different parlays. You're going to risk different amounts on each parlay. I can put the math out on Twitter at some point.
No, yeah, I'm just trying to do it in my head. So
I'm going
to
try. Yeah, it's
like three squared.
Trust me, I have a whole spreadsheet to track this.
Or no, two cubed. So it'd be eight different bets,
yeah.
Right?
So okay. I'm tracking it. I'm going to track it for the first month of the season, see how it goes. If we feel like we have something here, I'll post some of the math.
Now, why not just bet? Why not just look at every game and just take?
Well, so here's the thing. The reason you're taking these is that they give you the best bang for your buck playing both sides, where the only area where you get fucked is if the favorite wins by a run. So today, for example, the three games you would have played were Cincinnati, Miami, L.A., San Diego, and there was a third game that also it came in, basically.
So why not – now, can you do them just as single bets then?
No, because the idea is – so in my spreadsheet, I have a formula that says, well, how much do you want to win? So just for starters, let's say we're going to win 100. So most of these parlays, you're going to be risking between 140 and 200. So you're going to be laying between minus 140 and minus 200 juice every day to win 100. So when you lose, obviously you're losing more than one unit.
But the idea is that you're hitting it more than 2 to 1.
Yeah, so the idea is over 30 days last year, it came up, if let's call $100 a unit, it came up, I believe, 5.5 or 6 units over 30 days.
Not bad.
So we're talking a slow grind. We're talking, just playing the probabilities. But nonetheless, I kind of want to put a little bit more math into it. It makes it a little simpler. So once we're going to let it ride for a couple of weeks, we'll come back to it maybe around NBA playoff time, and we'll see where it's at. And then maybe if it's working, I'll post some math and
okay, we'll check
start
back
giving
in.
Away some money.
We'll call it MLB. We got to come up with a name for it, like instead of Moneyball, Kramer Ball, or something like that.
Yeah. So
another
anyway.
Just theory. Our buddy Scott Bowser, podcast guy, comedian.
Oh,
his theory is just whenever there's a insane favorite,
take
just,
the underdog.
Yeah, like anything.
It's baseball.
Anything like minus 350, minus 375. Anytime you see a pitcher that high, just immediately hammer the dog.
Yeah.
And you do that over a season, you're eventually going to get your money back.
Yeah, so like I said, the picks you'll be seeing me post are generally going to fall. You're going to see a lot of unders, and you're going to see mostly plus odds home teams. So we'll see how it goes. Like I said, it started off pretty well, 4-0.
All right, well, yeah, let's do – do you got any Friday night games up?
Yeah.
Let's do that, and we'll do some Friday night picks for NBA – or tonight picks for NBA and MLB, and then we'll wrap up with some Masters talk.
Oh, man.
It was all funny. Right. I was riding the bus today in Los Angeles, so it's me and a lot of Latin people. And I could just tell.
Latin folks?
Yeah. And you could just tell, like, I'm the only guy who's fired up about the Masters checking the Thursday. This is the first time I had action on the players.
You should have let them know Jimenez was on the first page of the leaderboard.
Yeah, they might have been excited about that. All right, Kramer, what do you got up? Let's make some picks.
All right, so just off the bat, I haven't done any research on these, but so just looking, this one pops out a little bit to me.
Throw out a couple lines.
The Houston Astros.
Okay.
Plus 115 at home, going against Guthrie with Wandy Rodriguez on the mound. He's solid. I like this. I'd probably... barring something I read that forces me the other way, I'll probably throw that in my picks.
Who's Guthrie? Who's he play for?
Guthrie is the pitcher for Colorado. Wandy Rodriguez for Houston. Another one. Now this one's it's always tough to take the under with the Yankees, but Sabathia and James Shields going out there. James Shields typically does decent against the Yankees. Sabathia. Give me under 7.
That feels good.
That's a close your eyes, take it.
Those Yankee bats, so they could get hot, Ryan.
Yeah, that's why it's always tough to take the under.
Okay.
And there's not a ton of great picks for tomorrow. I'll have to do a little bit more research.
All right, throw out some NBA picks. I haven't.
You know what? I'll take one more, and this kind of goes a little bit against my trend, but. Actually, we're not going to take it. I was going to say, I don't want to bet against the Yankees, but James Shields plus 111 at home. Again, falls into that whole fade. Take the home team if they're getting some plus odds and you feel good about their position. But yeah, another reason I hate this fucking opening day thing, there's 2 days in a row with a limited number of games. Normally you have a nice stack of 15 games to look at.
They're killing you, Kramer.
They really are. So we'll get really down to business starting on Saturday.
Okay.
All right. So NBA, have you looked at the lines at all, Sean?
No, I haven't.
We're getting to that part of the season where some teams have nothing to play for and some teams have a lot to play for. So this one off the bat kind of sticks out to me. Memphis is getting 8 points in Miami. Now I feel like Memphis is a team that would. Can kind of they match up well. I feel like they match up well against Miami.
Yeah, I like they're kind of a tough physical team. I like them
getting
eight.
They've been playing good. They've gotten healthy.
Plus, it seems like Miami's kind of played a couple big games already.
Yeah, this is definitely a letdown game. They just came off basically like a playoff-type atmosphere.
Yeah, I mean, they had a big game against the Celtics. They got whooped, came back against OKC, and now going back home. You can definitely see them slacking a little bit against the Grizzlies. Grizzlies, what are they? They still need a win for the playoffs, right?
They're currently in the four or five. They're currently in the five seed behind the Clippers.
Okay.
They are not a team you want to match up against in the first round.
No, they could be tough. I mean,
they're the five seed, and they were without Zach Randolph for most of the season.
Healthy Zach Randolph and the Grizzlies against the number four Clippers.
So another game I like. I like give me Houston getting 6.5 in Los Angeles. Houston is a scrappy
team. Against
the Lakers
or Clippers?
And Houston's a scrappy team.
Now, the Lakers have off today?
They had off today.
Yeah. Well,
but the Lakers are...
little inside knowledge. Yeah. This is... they have three back-to-backs this week, the Lakers. Kobe Bryant overslept his interview on the Dan Patrick show. So you can tell... Maybe the old that
he doesn't give a fuck.
That Lakers team does seem like that age could be a liability, I think, at some point. Just watching that team, I mean, Ramon Sessions does give them a little juice, but yeah, I'll take a Houston plus 6.5.
Yeah, those are the two that really popped out to me.
What are the other lines? Let's see if I got.
We got OKC traveling to Indy, getting 3.5
against the Pacers.
Yeah.
I like that. I would take OKC.
Yeah, that's kind of the, as they would say in the industry, the square
bet.
Play.
OKC is a good team, though.
Yeah, but this is one of those games they don't – it's like a non-conference game. It's I don't know.
They don't get up for it.
I'd probably lay off of that one. You got Atlanta laying 9 against Detroit. Detroit's tough to read. They just beat Orlando, but they're horrible.
Bobcats seem to be back to shitting themselves. They lost by 37 recently.
Yeah, and they're getting 13 against Milwaukee.
All right, I'll take Milwaukee laying 13.
There you go.
I'm going to get back on that Bobcats.
Stick with it. You got Utah at home laying 8 against Golden State. A bunch of matchups that
I like
are tricky.
I like that Utah against Golden State. This Golden State team's not been the same, and you always like – I don't know. I always like if you can get some money on Utah, take it.
Yeah, and then you got Portland going to Dallas. Dallas laying 6.5. San Antonio, here you go. San Antonio laying 11.5 against New Orleans.
Woo! I mean, I'd have
Popovich
to look
is tricky though. He just randomly rests guys. You got to be careful with him. He's all about big picture.
That is,
he doesn't care about winning a random game.
Yeah, that's definitely a stay away because, like you said there. Yeah, I mean, he'll just take out Duncan or just not play
but
him.
I would say give me Houston getting 6.5 and give me Memphis getting 8. If I had to pick two right now.
All right, Ryan. Well, we got some NBA picks there, a couple MLB picks. Now,
I will be sure to tweet more MLB picks tomorrow.
Yes,
and like you
too.
Said, if there's a day game and I'm playing the day game, look for those picks to come out around 9:30
West Coast time,
of course. And depending on when the first, I think first pitch tomorrow is 11.
That is a good way to kill your day if you're in an office. Just throw like $20 on an under.
So, Sean, as you know, I've recently purchased an iPad.
Yes.
And I just set this thing
He's
up on my desk,
show.
Get the MLB at-bat application going, and just had watching games all day as I'm working. It is awesome.
That's a sweet setup.
It's beautiful. So, yeah, I'd say look if there's no day games, look for those picks to go up by, probably 3 o'clock. First pitch is usually 4 West Coast. So, yeah, I'll definitely have at least a couple picks a day. Try to keep the winning streak going.
Yeah, off to a nice start. And Ryan, our Masters picks—they don't seem that shabby.
Well, everyone appears to be on pace to make the cut, which is always a good place to be at this point.
Right. So let's go through. Well, here's what we'll do: we'll recap our picks and check in where they're at. Who's on the? It's Westwood's the leader, right? At -5.
So Westwood had a strong round, -5, followed by. Oosthuizen or whatever that – I think he's South African or whatever. And then a bunch of other assholes no one knows about. Although there's an Italian dude on the leaderboard. But no, yeah, it's – and then shooting down the leaderboard, Cliff Note. Let's see, Bubba Watson.
Watson, that was the guy
strong,
we both –
one of our guys, strong
we
round.
Both took him as our play, 25-1. He's at what, -3?
Minus three.
Two back from the leader.
Two back, and he looked confident. He played well. Oh, that's the other thing. Sean, I got the Masters app here on the iPad.
It is sweet.
Was flipping back and forth between that. They got all these live video feeds, and it's great.
Yeah, I got the DirecTV, so you got the six different channels.
Yeah, you can choose, I want to watch Amen Corner, or, it's great. Speaking of the Masters, how do you feel about them still not letting women in?
That is hilarious, because it's like an annual tradition, besides the Masters itself, asking the president of the Masters whether they're going to revamp their policy, and he just goes...
I'd like to not comment on that.
He goes, the membership policies of the group are decided within the group, and it's going to remain private, and I've said that all along, and I don't have anything to add to that at this moment.
Oh, my God. It's just hilarious.
You got to love it.
So, yeah, then we got other highlights. Of course, Sean's a real long shot.
Freddie Couples.
Fred Couples sitting at – what's he sitting at? Minus two?
Minus two. He's only three back.
That's unbelievable.
Dan Patrick and Norm MacDonald both said they had a hunch about Fred Couples. So I was like, all right, I'll throw 10 bucks on Fred Couples, 75-1. Are you kidding me? And I turned on the Masters. I just saw a little bit here and there. But I turned it on right when Fred Couples was going for like a 6-foot par putt. And he just totally missed it. And I was like, oh, mother effer. And I just turned it off. But yeah, I guess he put in a nice round.
This is crazy. He's not showing up on the leaderboard. This is crazy.
Fred Couples?
Yeah.
Oh, he's definitely a minus two.
No, I believe you, but I'm just saying he's not on the leaderboard. Anyway.
Bring up what position he is in particular.
It's ESPN. I'm sure they fucked something up.
Let's see here.
But, yeah, and then one of my picks who came in second last year, my other pick, Adam Scott, he started strong, but he fell back. He's sitting at plus three. He's probably right on the line where the cut's going to be at this point.
Yeah, I got McIlroy in the same position.
McDowell. Right?
Yeah, I'm sorry, McDowell. I keep getting those guys mixed up. Oh, no, Fred Couples is even now.
Oh.
Damn. I thought he was minus two.
He must have been in a late group. There he is. Even. He's still
even.
What do you got him, 80-1? 75-1.
He's only five back.
If his back holds up, he's got a shot.
McDowell is, he's plus three. He's hanging
on. Tiger is
Tiger's even.
It's always fun when Tiger's doing well.
No,
and of course, Sean, we'll be playing golf during the final round of the Masters. Always a great time to get out on your local golf course.
Yes.
Tee times were wide open.
And it's Easter.
Yeah, a combination of Easter and Masters. Oh, it's great. I don't think there was anyone teeing off before or after us for an hour.
So, McIlroy, minus one. So
yeah, he had a decent round. It seemed like... And then, of course, the leader for most of the day, Stenson, who came out with one of the early groups, minus five going into the last hole, quadruple bogey. Talk about a meltdown.
That's got to hurt.
Yeah. He's going to be thinking about that tomorrow.
Yeah. That's just a formula for a tee shot in the woods right there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess we'll see. I don't know, Ryan. You want to change your predictions at all? What do you
Well,
where's Mickelson?
Adam Scott did not look
Mickelson's
great.
Plus two?
Adam Scott played all right. I still like – see, Adam Scott plays this course well. And like most of the golf experts will say, if Adam Scott's going to win a major, it's going to be this course.
Okay.
And, man, Bubba Watson looks good. He's really confident. His even when he's playing shitty, he looks confident. So when he's playing good, he looks really confident. I like the way he's playing. And I like his style. He just kind of goes for it. You got to be aggressive at Augusta.
Yeah, maybe.
And, you got to be able to hit it long. You can't really win this tournament not being able to hit a nice long drive. So I like his chances. Lee Westwood, whatever. He's a Brit. He'll probably screw something up.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, we kind of predicted – I read a stat. The past eight different Masters have been won by eight different people.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like nowadays that Tiger's kind of been dethroned. It's almost anyone's game, which that's why I didn't see – any value in betting the top three guys. I don't know. If you bet Rory, Phil, or Tiger, are you feeling good about your bet right now?
No, I mean, it's never...
I mean, you don't feel bad about it on
when
a Thursday.
When you bet futures like that, generally you don't want to take the favorites because there's never value in the favorites. The favorites are the favorites because people bet on the favorites.
Right.
There's a reason Tiger is a ridiculous, like 3-1 to win the tournament, it's because everyone's I'm going to bet on Tiger Woods, of course.
The books in Vegas must be loving this, that Tiger Woods is the number one. Or, you know, like wins a tournament right before a huge Masters like this.
Now, if you remember, at the height of his fame or his success, Tiger Woods would be like -140 to win the Masters. I mean, that's just ridiculous. We're talking – there were times where you could bet Tiger versus the field and get even money on the field. And that's just like no-brainer.
That's insane.
And a lot of them you lost because he was on that tear where he was winning two majors a year.
Yeah. We should think about doing a golf Vegas trip. Just go out, sit in the sports book for 12 hours.
Watch golf. I wonder if they do that for any. It has to be during a time when there's not really any other sporting events going on. So,
well, Matt, I mean, probably this Sunday, dude. I bet you if you go to a sports book in Vegas.
What else is on? Baseball, I guess.
Yeah, if anyone's at a book in Vegas, hit us up at Gambling Podcast. Show us what's going on the big screen. I bet you it's, especially if Tiger. I bet it's going to be anyone. You know, golf is like underrated betting sport. In America.
And we should be clear to do your best to not support Canner's Gaming and their horrible drink policy.
I take that back.
If you enjoy sitting at a desk like you're at work and watching games with very little sound and no drinks, you'd love Canner's Gaming. But if you like to get drunk and have a good time,
go to any other casino.
Yeah, go to another sports book. If you're looking for a nice little low-key sports book, I'd recommend Harrah's. Nice small. If you're looking for crazy madness, you got to check out the Las Vegas Hotel, formerly the Hilton.
Yeah,
that place is nuts.
That place is awesome. I think that was my favorite one. They have that.
Yeah, I mean, look, you can have you put a $5 bet in on a race or something, a horse race. Boom, you got free drinks all afternoon.
Drink policy is great. Tons of big screens.
Got a little deli in the back with some good sandwiches.
Yeah, dude, we had a legit hoagie there.
Yeah,
can't say enough about the
and there's a monorail stop. You hop on the no one uses the monorail in Vegas.
Yeah,
I feel like an old person talking about it. Like I love the monorail. I get excited about it.
It is.
As a resident of LA, I was down in Culver City. Got really excited. Saw the Purple Line extension. Saw Purple Line station right near downtown Culver City. Got really excited about it.
Is it open?
The station's there. The tracks haven't been laid, but you know, they've cleared the space next to the 10 freeway for the train. It's pretty unusable still because you'd still have to, you know, go downtown and then hop on the Purple Line to go to Santa Monica, but still, it's a start.
Hey, I mean, for me, it's good because I'm right around here. All right, enough Metro talk, enough sports gambling talk. I think we hit all our bases. Make sure you go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. You can also check us out on Stitcher Radio.
Oh.
I know a lot of people check it out. Stitcher is actually a really good app. I use it for a lot of the podcasts I listen to. Like The Green Room, Dan Patrick Show, BS Report. It's nice. You don't have to download the entire podcast. You just click on it. It streams it. You can favorite the different podcasts you like. It's they're not paying me anything for it, but check it out. We're on there, and
We just crossed the 100 follower plateau on Twitter.
Yep, 100 follower on Twitter. We're plugging away here, making a dent in the sports gambling world. One wager at a time. All right. I am, of course, Sean, stacking the money green. And he's Ryan.
Big Balls Kramer.
All right. Let it ride.